It could be just another monthly partner meeting, at just another fill-in-the-blank capital, typical Silicon Valley,
B-A-S-E-D-V-E-N-T-U-R-E
firm. The fans and top players sit around a white conference table, armed with Apple laptops and pastel-colored cans of LaCroix. A couple of startup entrepreneurs stop by to present to the partners, enthusing over upward trending charts and doubting the merits of recent hires. Outside the expansive windows lies the not-quite-bustling heart of downtown Palo Alto, a town that, along with nearby Menlo Park and the city of San Francisco, is a mega for Arc'teryx Vest.
WEARINGVCS.
But anyone who knows this hub of venture capital would immediately spot something unusual about this particular gathering. Four of the eight investors seated around the table are female, and one of the two presenting portfolio company heads is also a woman. In Silicon Valley, where unicorns are a dime a dozen, this kind of gender ratio is the real rare and magical discovery. If you have more diversity, you have better financial performance, says Trish Gower, one half of the founding team of Aspect Ventures, the non-breaking VC firm at hand. The other founder is Jennifer Fonstad. Our company is nearly
50-50英寸,
an industry in which just
7%
of investors are female, and our portfolio is a reflection of our pipeline. Gower and Fonstad, both longtime VCs, who worked at firms like Excel and DFK, didn't he set out to create a female-focused fund when they launched Aspect Inc., but they believed that diversity, both internally and throughout their portfolio companies, would lead to better outcomes, and they had the right Rolodex to test out their thesis. We have different networks than the traditional firms on Sand Hill Road, says Fonstad, referring to the nearby street where the bulk of the most established VCs are headquartered. The results, over the course of their careers, Kang and Fonstad's investments have resulted in a collective 7 public offerings, 26 acquisitions, and more than 500 financing rounds in follow-on capital. Aspect, which is now announcing a second, larger fund with some big-name limited partners, more on that later, began with
$150 million
in financing, and has already made
29
Series A investments. One of its portfolio companies, security startup Forest, went public last fall at a valuation of about
$800 million.
Other standout investments under Aspect's first fund include Keton Networks and Exabeam, both promising cybersecurity startups, health tech player Vita Health, and online career source The Muse. Overall, women founders receive less than
3%
of total VC dollars. Women of color, meanwhile, get a meager
0.2%.
But Aspect's portfolio looks strikingly different from the norm. About
40%
of the firm's companies were founded by women, and
30%
were started by minorities. Once those numbers might have been a mere curiosity, today they are becoming a competitive advantage. While investing for diversity is something certain industry players have been pushing for a long time, the message is finally beginning to be received by the deep-pocketed individuals and institutions that fund the Silicon Valley ecosystem. Why? Ignoring it can be expensive. Last summer, after six female founders accused venture capitalist Justin Kovac of making unwanted sexual advances, his firm, Binary Capital, spiraled downward fast. Kovac quickly resigned from the all-male firm, a new fund. Then, in the process of being raised by Binary, was abruptly halted. In Silicon Valley, where unicorns are everywhere, gender balance is the real rare and magical entity.
It
is not just venture capital firms that can be impacted. perhaps the most high-profile example of how such misconduct can destroy value is Uber, the ride-sharing company rocked by allegations of harassment and sexism early last year. A number of other embarrassing debacles followed, including reports that Uber had used a software tool to try to deceive authorities by hiding rides and ultimately resulted in a more than
20%
decrease to the once high-flying company's valuation, from around
70 million
billion to an estimated
54 million
billion. There is no foolproof method to guarantee that a VC shop or startup will be immune to these kinds of problems, but getting on diverse leaders can give investors some peace of mind. Numerous studies have suggested that gender-balanced teams drive better business results and, perhaps unsurprisingly, research shows that male-dominated organizations have higher levels of sexual harassment than those with more equitable gender dynamics. None of this is lost on anyone who has been staking Silicon Valley as success, let alone the limited partners who fund the entire ecosystem, aka the investors in the investors. In many ways, the venture and startup ecosystem is still a boys' club, one that all too often excludes disadvantages and mistreats talented women who want to contribute to it, said Melinda Gates, co-chair of the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation. And then, investor, the data tells us that as harmful to society and bad for business. Gates is one of a handful of limited partners who have put a collective
$181 million
into Aspect as just announced fund. The first as second. Another LP is Cisco Systems, the Bay Area.
BASEDNETWORKINGGANT WHOSEFINANCINGARN
invests directly in startups and in other funds. This fiscal year was the first time that we have specifically put diversity into our investment planning, says Jenny Ho, a vice president with Cisco Investments. Just like I have a plan for security and collaboration and data center, we have now put forward a plan for investing in diversity. While there have long been small players in the venture capital community who defied the stats and were able to attract some LP money, they tended to be relegated to the fringes of the industry, with less access to sizable funds and the busiest companies. Now, as Silicon Valley is finally coming to terms with the fact that bad behavior can do more than cause a temporary headache, concerned LPs are taking notice. That opens the door for funds like Aspect, which have made diversity part of their investment strategy from the get-go. The question now is, this newish breed of VCs truly in a position to challenge the established firms that have long ruled Sam Hill Road? Or is this trend just another one of tech's passing fads? Even with the brawl of Gates and Cisco behind it, Aspect
$181 million
fund isn't the all that menacing to the status quo when compared with the valley's biggest names, many of whom raise single funds worth more than
$1 billion.
But if the powers behind the money start to reprioritize, we could see the balance begin to tip in the underdog's direction. If there is one thing VCs know all too well, it is that little guys sometimes put the big guys out of business. Until recently, LPs have largely stayed in the background, invisible to most who operate day-to-day in the tech world. But despite their often secretive nature, these wealthy individuals, offices of private family funds, all institutions hold immense power, and venture capitalists say they are starting to ask questions. They likely believe claims of sexual harassment are material information, says Mike Maples Jr., co-founder of Floodgate, a panel
LWBASEDVC
firm with an investing team that
is 40%
female. In today's world, if partners engage in unacceptable behavior, the entire firm can blow up. Limited partners have done significant back-channel reference checking for years, but according to insiders, not only are LPS doing even more intensive vetting these days, but also the people they are talking to are now much more likely to feel a responsibility to out that behavior. Now there is more of a culture of people thinking, hey, you should talk about these things, even if they are rumors, says Flavio Tasso, the co-founder and Miracle. This year, ending
2017,
it has definitely been a lot more top of mind for LPS, says Lance Chow, the founding partner at Basis Set Ventures, AU, Artificial Intelligence,
FOCUSEDVC
firm. The former Dropbox executive raised
$140
million for her first fund, and says that while bigger funds have a clear advantage when it comes to leading the largest deals, her dual focus AI and diversity gives her a leg up. Even some of those larger funds appear to be feeling the pressure to diversify. Benchmark added its first ever female partner last May, while Sequoia Capital hired its first female investing partner in the U.S. in four of the moves brought the VC heavyweights to
17% and 11%
women investors, respectively. NEA, one of the largest firms with
$20 billion
in assets under management, has yet to hire or promote a female general partner, though it does have six female investing partners on staff. But Dana Grayson, one of those investing partners, says her firm does have some advantages besides just the sheer dollars over smaller players. When you get to a certain scale, you can have an HR body, a chief legal officer, policies, and training, and a number of other levers to ensure that everybody is informed on what is and is not acceptable in the workplace, says Grayson. So while a firm like NEA may not have a woman at the table when the big decisions are being made, there is an argument that it can afford the infrastructure needed to stem that behavior, both at its portfolio companies and within its own ranks. Kate Barrett, NEA's marketing partner, adds that comparing the gender ratios of large firms like hers with smaller players can be misleading. It has one thing for a four-person firm to be
50%
female, but quite another for a
36-person
operation like NEA. NEA maintains that questions about diversity have not impacted its fundraising, but that may well change. The firm closed its latest fund, a massive
$3.3 million
building, last May, just as the Valley of harassment scandals were starting to mount. But before they gained real attention from the bulk of the tech world, we hear from our LPS more regularly during fundraising times, says Barrett. Last September, about 200 representatives from some of the largest family funds in the country gathered at the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco. The group comprised, as portfolio manager Kristen Cole Goldstein put it, the kind of people who are wealthy enough they don't need to be nihilistic. But while the attendees might opt to keep their fortunes out of the press, they are putting those funds to work. Area 1 at the gathering was a limited partner, tasked with allocating large amounts of private, family-owned capital into various investments, including many of Silicon Valley's venture capital firms. Goldstein, who co-manages the investments of her family office, often the partners, had been asked by the gathering as organizers to put together content on a topic of increasing concern to the LPS in attendance, the mounting discrimination and harassment problems in the tech world. They realized this was an issue but they didn't know the extent of it, or what you could do about it as a limited partner, says Goldstein. The Bay Area,
BASEDINVESTORBROUG, HTIMFOUNDERNINIANEWANG, W
sold her startup last year and is now an engineering leader at PodMongo. Create an Ivantic. Earlier in 2017, she was among the women who publicly accused Kodak, the former partner at Binary Capital, of sexual harassment. I gave them the LPS, some actionable advice, like, don't sign a non-disclosure agreement as part of your investment, and ask questions about how they treat diversity or whether or not they have a female partner, says Wang. According to Goldstein, Wang received a standing ovation, and both women were mobbed with questions and comments from the audience. The session was the highest rated at the event, and the organization has already asked Goldstein to come up with similar programming for future summits. There is an enormous risk here that some of these families weren't even aware of, says Goldstein. Our goal was to reach these wealthy people, who sometimes have no idea they are funding misogynists, and give them practical things they can do to protect themselves. Following the event, Goldstein has fielded several calls from high-profile family offices, asking for her take on whether there might be a misconduct or other risk with some of their potential investments. She calls these what as the real deal here calls. Some LPS ones who obviously haven't signed in this with the venture capital firms they funded aren't just using back channels to ask questions. Instead, they are throwing off their usual role as silent partner and for the first time taking their concerns public. Last summer, amidst the wave of harassment scandals, 500 startups co-founder Dave McClure was accused of sexual misconduct. The eccentric general partner of the incubator and venture capital firm apologized and resigned from his role in response to the revelations. Some of his most high-profile LPS, including Mitch Kapper and Freda Kapper Klein, publicly expressed their outrage at his behavior and the larger tech community's role in enabling it. This is a culture that has been allowed to fester and to rot by enablers who refused to intervene when they witnessed inexcusable behavior or went to great lengths to avoid seeing it, they said in a statement. Many limited partners have signed in this and will probably continue to do so, and many more want to speak out, even if given the opportunity. But as awareness and concern reaches critical mass, it is likely that a growing number of LPS will make their voices heard, if not with words, then with dollars, down the road. That could have tangible impact on venture capital firms that are not evolving to meet current demands. I want to back the people best positioned to successfully invest in tomorrow's groundbreaking ideas, says Melinda Gates, and they are not always the people who successfully invested in yesterday.
As